Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I've never heard more compelling reasons to join us at a remote broadcast than this. Tree Time Christmas Creations for next Sunday, 9 to 1. It'll be a lot of fun. You can join us for that. So, was it 2 weeks ago? I was out in Los Angeles and went to the premiere of the much-anticipated film, The Irishman, directed by Oscar winner Martin Scorsese, starring Oscar winner Robert De Niro, Oscar winner Al Pacino, Oscar winner Joe Pesci, Oscar winner Harvey Keitel, not to mention another stellar supporting cast in this movie. It's a mob movie. It's a different take. It's not like Godfather. It's not like Casino. It's not like Goodfellas, a lot of the mob movies that we've seen before. It's going to be opening in Chicago in theaters first next week, next Friday. It'll be in theaters for just a few weeks. That's so it can qualify for Academy Award consideration. And then it'll be going to Netflix on November the 27th. And it's amazing. It's unbelievable filmmaking. It's unbelievable performances. But it is 3.5 hours long. That's my one flaw, really, with this movie. It is very uncomfortable to sit for the full 3.5 hours in a theater to watch this movie. And if you're going to do that when it opens in a theater, be prepared. I mean, you really have to be in the right mindset for a 3.5 hour movie. Or watch it on Netflix where you can pause it, take a break, and then come back to it again. But we were lucky enough to be on the red carpet to talk with all of the stars. We had an exclusive sit-down, one-on-one interview with Robert De Niro, which we'll get to in just a minute. But before we play the interview with De Niro, I wanted to just play a little bit of a clip from a press conference that took place about 10 minutes before I sat down with De Niro. Scorsese, Pacino, and De Niro are all on a stage in a hotel ballroom and taking questions from the press. And Pacino was asked if he learns anything when he does movies, at this stage of his career, this stage of his experience, if he gets anything out of working with a master like Scorsese. And he was articulate, he was hilarious, but if you can just imagine in your mind, Scorsese and De Niro are sitting right next to him, just looking at him, and they're laughing, they're just completely amused by the kind of language that he uses, not dirty language, just his turn of a phrase, his passion for all of this. They were sitting there with big smiles on their face while their friend Al Pacino was talking about the process of filmmaking.
I make films. Like when I do them, it's a learning experience for me. And it's a sense of doing a home movie I have, and this is where I learn about. I learned about film by directing a film. I learned about editing and what it was by doing my own. How does someone? I have to say, I was fortunate to have done Looking for Richard. Yeah. I did that because I had some idea, but really, why I did it, what was motivated me, was that I did Richard III several times, and when I did it in New York on Broadway, the reviewer said, Pacino has set back Shakespeare 50 years in America. And I said, oh, that can't be. I love Shakespeare.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
And I had done it, in Boston, and there's a whole reason why that thing didn't happen, and one of the reasons was it didn't have a concept in terms of. It's so interesting, you know. I could go on forever, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to go on forever. But when we did it at the Loeb Theater, it didn't work at all. I was a young guy, I was famous already, but I had done Richard III because I knew I'd done it at the Actors Studio and had a feeling for it. I just wanted to do it, and I wanted to learn. I always pretty much want to learn, and working with these guys, I learned a lot. That's sort of what I leave my... That's probably why I continue to do it. But I did it, and I did it at the Loeb. This is interesting. And the set was... Yeah, because I'll tell you something about Irishmen and what they did in Irishmen about a set. You've seen it, so I can talk to you about it. But I did it at the Loeb in Cambridge. And, I mean, I was going on with a fever. I was all, you know, my friend was giving me the words, and I had 2 weeks. But it wasn't there. And I go out, and you haven't lived until you go out in the second act. And there's a lot of red seats in front of you. Half the audience left, maybe two-thirds. And I thought, what did I do? What's wrong with me? And so, but then I turn around and look at the set. And the set was a bunch of bars. I don't know where the hell who did that and what it came from. I had no idea what I was doing. You know, now is the winter of our discontent, but in front of bars. And I don't know where the hell I was. So they threw me out of Boston. They threw me out of Cambridge. But as I was leaving, my great friend and mentor, Charlie Lawton, said to me, "Al, I don't know. I think I see something there. I see something there in what you're doing." David Wheeler, the great theater company of Boston director, he came, he said, "Al, let's not just give this up, please." I said, "Well, I know, but I feel, you know, I want to get out of town or something." And they said, no, we got this Church of the Covenant. It was right on Marlborough Street, beautiful. This church. And we all went in there, this medieval sort of thing. And I came up. There was a pulpit, and I came up from the pulpit like this with a stocking hat on. And I said, "Now is the winter of our discontent." And the thing just started to go. We had a set.
That's it.
We had a concept, a context. You understand? And when we went to Broadway, we didn't bring the church. And these are important things. Now, there's a
scene. So all this time, while Pacino was talking about creating this and doing a performance in a church versus on a stark, empty stage, Scorsese and De Niro are sitting next to him with the biggest smirks on their face, just listening to the character of Al Pacino telling the story. The press conference ends. We go into a private room, De Niro and I. And I sit down for my exclusive one-on-one Chicago interview with him. We are in our Dean's List, A-List interview for today. And my exclusive Chicago interview with Robert De Niro, talking about his movie, The Irishman. We just played a little clip of the press conference in which Al Pacino held court, at which Scorsese and De Niro both were just were laughing because Al Pacino is such a character in the way that he tells stories. It's fantastic. So when I sat down one-on-one with De Niro, I wanted to talk a little bit about what was going on in his mind while Pacino was talking on stage. I enjoyed the press conference that we just came out of. I was enjoying watching you watching Pacino. Doing Pacino, telling stories. You just had this grin on your face the whole time. What are you thinking? I mean, is that how he is?
Yeah. I mean, he's great, and he gets all into the story and everything. I just enjoy watching him. I mean, he made me laugh all the time, and in the film playing Hoffa, it was great, and you know, like Marty had asked me, he hadn't worked with Al, he knew him, of course, and as they say, they almost did projects. But he said, "What's he, you know, how's he okay?" I said, "Yeah, you're going to love him. He's a sweetheart, he's great."
Yeah.
So
he looked amused also at
Marty.
But she didn't tell yeah. stories. It was funny watching both of you watching him telling the stories. But I'm, in a way, though, it must also speak to your personal friendship. Does that aid in a performance when you're close friends with somebody like that for decades and decades and decades?
Well, it doesn't hurt that you have a built-in relationship. Of course it doesn't hurt, and it does add something even on unconscious, subconscious levels that you can't, you just, you know, the rhythm is right, you know, he says one thing, you say, you react or not say anything or whatever it is, it's all good.
Yeah, and is there a certain shorthand with you and Marty as well, because you've worked with him so long, for such, you know, long time friends with him?
I know everybody always asks that. I suppose in some ways there are. We talk about stuff. There's always a shorthand of sorts where, even though I know what he's going to say or what he's going to yeah. or how he's going to react, I still say, this is, what do you think? It's, yeah, right, you know.
Interesting. What do you say to people who are going to react to the length of the movie? I mean, it's long, and there must have been some discussions along the way. Should we make it shorter? Should we make it, you know, easier for short attention span? The world that we live in now that's so short attention span?
I think that this kind of movie deserves to be the length that it is, because it's a masterpiece the way Roma was a masterpiece. I thought of Roma when our movie was starting to take shape and so on. It's the same idea, this kind of sprawling grand story, totally different, but at the same time within that thing, it's another style, another type of thing. So I thought it has to be what it has to be. And in fact, because it's Marty and he should have that right, that people have to stop, and even if things are a little long or a little this or a little that, though a lot of people have said they don't even notice the length, that's his right as a master, as an artist of his stature, to, you know, it's like talking to a person who's gained a lot of stature, and you listen to them, they say they have something important to say to you, they say it in their right. way. Some things might, you know, you might already know what they're gonna say, but they're gonna say it in their way, right. and you owe that to them. That's the respect you must give. And that's what I feel that Marty has at this point. And if it's something that people are more, you know, it's in this case, I feel that he's actually got the attention of the audience. It's not like he's going off or anything. It has a solid foundation and can run the length, and people accept it.
Yeah. So it's not unnecessarily long. It's as long as it needs to.
Yeah, yeah. That's
it'd
how
be
I
like telling Da Vinci, don't use certain colors.
Well, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And not to sound so grandiose and highfalutin, but I think at one point you have to say that's what it is.
Yeah, really. That to me, that's the only. You know, if there is a negative in this, The Irishman, it's the length. It's magnificently acted. It's magnificently assembled. The movie making, the story is completely interesting. It's just a real challenge to go to a theater and to sit there for 3.5 hours in one place is a real challenge. So either be prepared when you go to the theaters. It's going to open here in Chicago in the theaters next Friday. And then on the 27th of November, which is Thanksgiving weekend, it's going to debut on Netflix. That's the way that I'm recommending. As much as I would love for you all to see this on a big screen, I'm recommending waiting until it's on Netflix so you can pause it, take a break, and then come back to the movie for the full enjoyment of it.